Welcome, WSJF listeners, to the Spirit of Sainthood. During our time together, we'll take an older brother or sister in the faith and talk about their life, their faith journey, the special gifts that they had that caused them to be considered for sainthood in the Catholic Church. Also, and maybe most importantly, we'll have a conversation around why the saint up for discussion during this episode has special meaning for those who are gathered around the table here today. We hope you enjoy our conversation together about these very special people in the church. Here's the host of the show, Dan Farmer, and he'll introduce his guests.
Welcome to the Spirit of Sainthood podcast, sponsored by St. Joseph's Catholic Community in Eldersburg, Maryland, where we learn how to be saints by looking at our older brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm your host, Dan, and today I'm joined by Pedro.
This guy.
I'm Conrad.
And Woody.
And today we'll be discussing our foster father, St. Joseph, actually.
Papa Joseph.
And today Pedro is going to be kind of leading the discussion. And so usually with these things, we kind of talk about the history of the saint, and then we'll have a discussion about maybe some of the virtues that we love. But Pedro's a wild card, so we're going to see what he does.
This is true. Father Armando calls me the Joker for a reason, you know? So St. Joseph was obscure to me till about 2 years ago. And one of my reflections as I'm going through the consecration is really coming to grips, because St. Joseph has actually helped me to restore my relationship with my own father. He has deepened my love for him in such a beautiful way. So let me just be vulnerable and just start out with one of my experiences that I've had. I woke up in the morning, I felt anxious, I was vexed, defeated, rejected. And I was really dreading my holy hour that day. And as I approached my holy hour, I closed my eyes and I just became aware of Jesus' presence before me and in me. And I was flooded with all of the ways that my father didn't receive me. And that morning, what I needed was my father, but I didn't have the desire to turn to him. And so I knew that there were things that needed to be worked. And then I was taken to this other place. I was taken to Bethlehem. And I was placed on my knees, like crying before baby Jesus. And I just felt these very heavy but tender hands like fall upon my shoulder. And I look up, and this man's countenance was just beaming, like scintillating with virility. Just joy and love exuded from his gaze. And he looked at me, he's like, "Will you come help me, you know, bring in some wood to keep place warm for, you know, for the animals and for Mary and baby Jesus?" Like, of course. And as I walked out with him, I was just pouring out my heart to him. In moments, like, he would drop the wood and he would just come and he would just embrace me. And then we go back inside, we drop the wood off, and then he just goes and like picks up baby Jesus, puts him in my arms, and he looks at me, and with so much confidence and love and tenderness, he says, "He won't hurt you and you won't hurt him." And I guess like that's something that was been really missing, like in my relationship with my dad, was in those times that he failed to receive me, he wasn't building up my confidence. And St. Joseph entrusted to me his greatest treasure, his son. And I knew that I needed to call my father and to forgive him. And so I called my dad and I just started crying. I couldn't get it out. My dad is just being very encouraging. So I tell him, I was like, "Dad, I'm so sorry. I forgive you. And I name him the times and the ways that he failed me. And my dad's like, "Pedro, I've been waiting for this call for so long." And my dad and I are like, we had this 3-hour conversation. Both of us are crying. And then towards the middle mark, he allowed me to be a father to him as well, to speak into the ways that he failed and like loving my mom and how he is doing his best to forgive, to love her. So like, man, that was the beginning of my consecration with St. Joseph. And 2 years before at the seminary, I never win raffles. And so I was like very hesitant to put my name in the hat. And there's beautiful newly commissioned images of Joseph carrying Jesus back from the temple. Very beautiful. And towards the end of dinner, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna put my name in the hat. It was the Feast of St. Joseph. It was March 19th. So I was like, okay, if you really are my father, you are gonna get me that icon. And just before the draw, I was like, you know what? I know you're with me. I know you're my father. I don't need the icon. The first name out the hat was mine.
Wow.
So just like, but yeah. So let me just start out with there. So,
thank you so much for being like very vulnerable about that story, because that is like deep struggle for a lot of us. And obviously, like, you know, even in my own life, just talking about those wounds that our fathers give us. But I think there's like a lot of beautiful and important things in that story, and particularly like how St. Joseph really represents how important fathers are to men, and not just biological fathers, but also like the spiritual fathers, like those mentors and stuff like that. Sometimes we go too hard on this kind of quote that we throw around, like, oh, well, you don't need a biological father because you have the Father in heaven. And that is true. The Father in heaven will supply, but the Father in heaven works through physical fathers. The Father in heaven worked through Saint Joseph. And so I think it's important for us to talk about, in that Catholic sense, how important fathers are, especially to men, like especially to us, because me and you have talked a lot, and you've been such a beautiful spiritual father to me. And this is a beautiful discussion, because now I get to like affirm you, and it's a great joy of mine.
Don't do it.
But you know, you were the first person that really kind of taught me the father's love. You know, like my dad's a good man, but my dad is broken, and we all have our flaws. But I always felt like my love with my dad was always tied to my successes. But you were the first person that just loved me just for me being me. There's no condition. There's no condition to that love. And that was a beautiful gift that was given to me, because the Father worked through you as the Father worked through Saint Joseph. And I think it's also important to talk about how Christ is God. And so Christ didn't need St. Joseph, but he chose to submit to St. Joseph in order to show us how to live our lives. Like, Jesus chose that for a reason, because it's important for us as sons to, like, grow from our fathers and receive wisdom from fathers. And, like, when we grow up, we have that responsibility to do that for others, not just our biological children, but all the people that come before us.
Yeah. One of the things I love about the Father Boniface book, Through the Heart of St. Joseph, is talks about like allowing St. Joseph to father us through our littleness. So like Woody, Conrad, Dan, what are the ways that St. Joseph has loved you in your littleness? Like those areas in your heart, like where you account for nothing, like where you're just like, you know, I'm nothing. St. Therese says like, we are nothing, right? And that if we grow in that understanding that we are nothing, and that we are allowing the Father to love us in that littleness, is like, that's what uplifts us. That's when we're like, our spirituality goes from like this rigid asceticism and trying to earn salvation, from like, I can't do this, and I throw my hands up in the air and I cry and the Father comes and soups me up. So where were some places where you experienced the love of St. Joseph and the Father in your life, in the moment of vulnerability and littleness in your prayer?
Yeah, honestly, I mean, similar to you, Pedro, these last couple of years, I've kind of grown to really see St. Joseph more of like a father figure to me. And it's really just been like the little things. I just started, you know, entrusting more, you know, more prayers to him and asking for his intercession. And he's, you know, really been pulling through in just like such amazing ways. I mean, I can't recall any one particular things, but I know. So a couple episodes ago, we did the Saint Andre Bossuet, and we were talking about how like his confidence in Saint Joseph, and kind of more recently, my brother was struggling and trying to find a new job, and I mentioned to him the Saint Joseph Novena.
Yeah,
and on my end, I tried to put that same entrustment into Saint Joseph that he would provide for my brother, as like St. Andre Bossuet would, when he would tell people about St. Joseph, like, St. Joseph will provide, St. Joseph will provide.
Just sew medals like, into his clothes?
Exactly. Yeah, so I told him to pray the St. Joseph Novena, because, you know, he's a patron saint of workers. Literally, on the last day of the Novena, he got a job offer. And I was just like, thank you, Saint Joseph. It was just like such an incredible like affirmation. I'm just like putting, you know, trust in him. For me, it's just like the little things, you know, in like my daily, you know, daily life, making sure that like I do my job well,
yeah,
that like when I work, that I glorify God, like through my work, through my interactions with people. I'm recently married, so now like I'm praying for him to, you know, ask him to help me make me more like himself, like a husband, like
saw,
him,
dude.
And one day, you know, like a father, like he was. So when you guys were talking about how like fathers today in today's like society, like there's always something missing. And even those fathers who, you know, try really hard, they always, and you know, can come up short because of our brokenness. And just from my own experience and from so many people that I've spoken with, we can look up to Saint Joseph as a father, and he can help provide for us in those ways that our own fathers may have lacked and haven't provided.
You know, like you bring something there, like as men, and this is something I was wrestling with today with my fiance, because she called me. She's like, Pedro, like, has this deep anxiety that you're hiding something from me, and that's from the enemy. Because when the father speaks to you, there is an anxiety. There is like consolation. It's funny how the first part of our courtship, it's almost like being reflected back now. The first part, I had to carry a lot of the burden because she wasn't in a place of trusting. And now she's in a place of trusting, and I have to trust that she not only desires to receive, but to share in my burdens as well. And so in that beautiful moment, I'm like, man, Saint Joseph, one of the things that he taught me through the consecration is his generosity in receiving. That he wasn't prideful. The gift of frankincense and myrrh and gold is what allowed the Holy Family to make that pilgrimage from Bethlehem to Egypt. How can we, because sometimes we have a very difficult time doing, is to the humility to receive aid, to ask our brother for help. And one of the things that's been very apparent, I think it's really been a gift from Saint Joseph, is in what we're forging here in our community as men. It's that vulnerability, which is like shunned by most men nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
That ability to share our hearts. But we really have given each other permission to speak into each other's hearts in a really beautiful way. So like, why do you think it's so difficult for us as men to receive help and to ask for help?
This is something that I've been thinking about. Talked with Sam about this, but I remember not that long watching a TikTok video, and it was it was like this it was interesting because it was this girl, and this girl was like, oh well, like, who do you guys go to whenever you guys need help? I go to this person. And then I'm not lying to you, it was 30 guys in a row that were like, I don't have anyone to go to.
Dang.
And the last one,
that's rough.
And the last one was like, I would rather die than go to someone for help.
Good Lord.
It just like really struck me and really saddened me, mostly because I was there at one time. Like, that was me, you know? And I think like a big part of it is there's a lot of things at play, but I think like really what the enemy wants you to do is to like give you this kind of pride that you can do things by yourself, that you can just pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and that you're not a real man if you need help. And that is just completely untrue. Saint Joseph, the most manliest of men, he received help. Like, it was through those gifts that he received from the Magi that allowed him to make that trip. It just, even look at everyone else, like, Christ chose to submit himself to Saint Joseph. So Christ chose to submit himself to help.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus Christ is like the model for men, the model for all of humanity. He was perfected because he's also fully God, but still, that's like what we're trying to strive towards.
Oh man, it just reminds me of the passage. It's, though he was in the form of God, Jesus did not deem equality with God something to be grasped at. Rather, he took the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of men. So he favors poverty. Woody, so what is your understanding of Christ loving you in your own poverty?
Well, I'm just going to tie the two together. I'm going to say that we were already starting to talk about, which is the of St. Joseph's humility, and that humility is a masculine virtue.
Mm.
Let that sink in for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's a truly masculine virtue.
Let's go.
And if there is one thing that I took away from St. Joseph, there's a lot of things, but one particular that stands out for me is the virtue of humility and St. Joseph's humility. And St. Joseph was okay raising the Son of God, who wasn't his own child. He was okay having no quotes from him in Scripture, barely having a mention in Scripture. His own death isn't even mentioned in Scripture.
Isn't that beautiful?
You know, he's okay having such a small background role. And he's so humble that he receives, he's so little confidence in him, in himself, and so much faith in God, that he is willing to, in the face of everything that's going on with the Herod slaughtering of the infant, he goes and has a nice deep sleep, goes into full REM sleep, so she has a dream to tell him to go to Egypt. Like, you really, really, you went into a really deep sleep in order to have a dream like that. And he had a full deep sleep. That means he was really like, I'm going to bed now and I'm just going to leave it all. You know, and of course, there's the whole St. Joseph the sleeper and everything like that with the statue of St. Joseph sleeping and all that came out of that. But it's so beautiful, the humility of that. And I mean, for instance, like that's kind of a lesson that I have learned is that I have not seen, and in tying in what we were talking about before, I didn't see in my own life St. Joseph's, or I didn't see humility as a masculine virtue. By the way, it's something you have to do, but it runs contrary to being masculine.
Wow.
And yet, in truth, it is actually at the very heart a masculine virtue. Mm.
Saint Pope John the 23rd, every time he used to go to bed, he would say it out loud. All right, God, this is your church. I'm going to bed. This is your problem now. That's that trust.
Yeah.
It's so, and he had a deep devotion to Saint Joseph.
He did.
Which I didn't make the connection just till now. It's like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So let me do a couple of like clarifying things. I think oftentimes when we think about the virtue of humility, what we think about is thinking less of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that is not true. What the virtue of humility is thinking properly of ourselves as God sees us in proper relationship to God. So scrupulosity is a form of pride, just as like the normal, like what you would perceive being prideful is. They're both two different ends of pride. So I think that's a point to clarify, because like some people will be like, I used to do this too, like just basically self-deprecating humor, like, you know, thinking worse of yourself, and like that's me being humble. Well, that's really not true.
Like Dan's voice. Sing for us, Dan.
No, that is not my gift, and I'm okay with it. It's not my gift, and I'm okay with it. But and then going on to humility, this is something that I was, again, talking with Sam again. But I think St. Joseph's humility is the virtue that allows him for all the titles that he has. It is by his humility that he can be patron of happy death. It is by his humility that he can be guardian of virgins. It's by his humility that he can be pillar of family. Like, he can be terror of demons. And it's all through his virtue of humility.
Dude, the spouse of the mother of God.
Through his humility. Yeah. Yeah.
Zealous defender of Christ.
Yes. Yeah. And I think it all stems from his humility. Because he, St. Joseph, understood his proper relationship with God. And so I'll give an example with one that, you know, I think is pretty easy to talk about. So he's called patron of happy death. And so there's a couple things in here, but St. Joseph's name actually means increaser, which by that is just humility in of itself.
Yes.
Because his job is to increase everyone around him. Whereas like pride would be like, no, I need to be the best one in the room. Whereas St. Joseph's like, no, everyone else needs to be better than me. I need to help everyone else elevate. Patron of happy death. Mm. I think he was able to have a happy death because he knew exactly his relationship in God. And he knew that he had done his job, it was time to go, and he knew that his son had exceeded him, and he knew that his wife would be taken care of, which is why he was able to die happy. Whereas like prideful would be like, no, I need to be there for my wife, I can't go yet. No, my son still needs me.
So two thoughts that I had today. So one I just had now, but the other one I had today. So humility, humus, soil, right? What if the very humanity of Christ and St. Joseph is where the mustard seed is planted? St. Joseph, the increaser, he's the richness. He provides, his poverty provides the nutrients for the soil. if we allow ourselves to be embraced by him and his son. And Mary's graces, her love, her tears water that soil. Allow us to grow into full maturity in Christ our Lord. Another thought I had today, and I know some Tolkien fans out there are going to, you know, they're probably going to be banging at the door trying to crucify me. I don't care. But what if, because again, Tolkien didn't write The Lord of the Rings to be an allegory.
No, he
didn't. But symbolical, right?
Yeah.
As a good Anglican, you yes. know this.
Yeah.
It'd be heresy to say otherwise, right?
Yes. It would.
I would crucify myself.
Yeah.
So what if Frodo is Saint Joseph and Sam is Jesus?
And you're going to have to unpack that.
I will unpack this real quick.
Oh.
I will unpack this. So in the Council of Elrond, Elrond says, while the eyes of the great are elsewhere, the small hands are the ones that are turning the wheels of the world. Saint Joseph remained hidden, like you said, for so many years. Not only in Nazareth, but like even before that.
He was the cloak.
Like, a devotion to Saint Joseph was, it's not a real thing until the 20th century. That's when it really like exploded. And Saint Joseph, and so like just like Frodo, the dream that he had, right? Like, I'll take the ring, though I do not know the way. The humility to receive. The reason why he was able to bypass all those dangers in such a beautiful way, it was not only through the grace of his son, Jesus, which is Sam. Because most of the time, like, it's Frodo, like, really walking with Sam. But in the end, where does Frodo die? Frodo dies right at the mouth of Mount Doom. He can't go on any longer. So Sam picks up Frodo. He's like, I can't carry the ring, but I can't carry you. Mm-hmm. And then right here, he brings him to like, right when Sam needs to live out his fatherhood, his like being a husband, Frodo looks at him and he says like, I need to leave because some have to die so that others can live. And so he goes into the West. And then we don't know. So Sam picks up the story. Like, it ends with Sam with his wife and children, but still with pages left to write. Conrad, you made a face.
Oh, I made a face because I was thinking, spoiler alert. I know. I think I'm the only one in this room who hasn't seen Lord of the Rings or read the books.
Or heretic.
Look, we're all
my
sinners
apologies.
Here. We're all sinners here.
Some greater than others. But we're sin abounds. Grace abounds even greater.
That's true.
It is on my list.
So what are your thoughts? What is over there? Just are you receiving or angry at me?
Oh, I'm not angry or anything. I think I'm not like a Tolkien fanatic or anything like that, but I'm just trying to digest.
But if it was C.S. Lewis,
it's a lot.
He would have smacked you around.
I would smack you around. Although it would have been allegory because he was allegorical in his stuff. He wasn't afraid to be allegorical.
He was not afraid.
Yeah, Tolkien. That was an argument between those two. Yeah.
So I think it is an interesting parallel, and it's kind of interesting just thinking about it. It's that humility that shrouds them, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's like interesting. Yeah, just that humility that hides them. And so it almost seems like to me Sam would be Saint Joseph because he's the one that kind of prevents, I mean, obviously, like, it's not a perfect analogy, but like, he prevents Frodo from revealing himself by like putting on the ring. And so, like, I could see Sam as that veil of humility that keeps Frodo hidden as he makes this journey.
The way I see it is Sam, is Frodo dying in the arms of Sam, and Sam making that journey of carrying Frodo to his very last place, which is heaven.
Gotcha.
Like, he died in the arms of his son.
It's a specific parallel, not a... Okay, got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. When you don't have allegory, you have only symbolism. It can be many different symbols.
Which is beautiful. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. That is true.
For me, it's like the best thing in the world.
Yeah. I mean, that is like kind of one of the beauties of literature and like the Catholic faith is that there is so deep and rich of like symbolisms and typologies and allegories and metaphors. It's just like you can really go and explore all the nooks and crannies and, you know, and never really explore everything. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And one of the things too for me, in a culture, and here we are with the podcast, you know, like but we're not very well known, and that's fine. And I think this is more fun just to do, like, as brothers, without a desire to be known. But in this age, we make, like, social media being known, like, such a huge platform. And I was telling my pastor this past week, because it's such a humble desire to reveal to the world, like, what we're doing and invite people to share in it. And I'm like, Father, can you, as a father, keep this, like, close to your chest? Like, we are your children, like, hold this close to your chest. Because it really is, like, an allowing grace to reveal things in its proper time. And Saint Joseph's patience, like, really shows. I don't know about you guys, but, like, patience is something that, as a man, I needed. I suffered to grow into it, because I didn't really receive that from my own father. And Saint Joseph really was that model for me. So, like, what is your guys' experience with patience?
Patience, I've been learning, actually.
His bride here is laughing, so it's about to be good.
No, I've been learning a lot about patience these last few years. Such an incredibly important virtue. It's so underrated. Patience reveals a lot. It helps you endure. It helps reveal the truth. Like, being patient helps you persevere. I actually found, like, a really good quote, and it essentially goes like, patience is the virtue by which a man bears up against the evils that tend to make him sad and to break his spirit. Patience, after all, deals with the sorrows of life. It holds the soul upright under the crushing blows of sorrow. And I found that so true that, you know, in my life, there have been, like, lots of ups and downs. And,
yes, sir.
You know, if you remain patient and, you know, trusting in the Lord, you know, eventually, you know, every storm runs out of rain. I found that almost every situation in life, if you're just patient through it, rushing always gets you kind of in trouble.
Yeah.
Makes you make some mistakes. You make bad decisions.
Yeah.
When we're patient, yeah, the truth just kind of tends to reveal itself. And I think that the Holy Spirit also communicates to us, like, when we are patient.
Yes.
Rarely is the Holy Spirit, you know, we're going to quickly need an answer and the Holy Spirit is just going to, like, give us an epiphany. You know, we kind of need to settle in, be a little bit patient, trust in the Lord. Mm. And then, you know, those are usually the moments when the Holy Spirit kind of gives us those revelations that we need to make decisions.
Patience becomes a lot easier, I think, when you feel confident that you're exactly where you're meant to be.
Mm. But, like, what if you're not where you're meant to be?
Get to where you need to be.
Yeah. Wow.
You know? Run and it doesn't mean sitting in adoration all the time. That means being, whether you're working for, you know, 8 hours a day, or whether you're on the trip to the store, or whether you're wherever you are. Really, in any circumstance, you should be exactly where you're meant to be. And if you're not where you're meant to be, then go be where you're meant to be. But, like, patience is, like, dealing with stuff that you, like, the sense of patience is feeling like, I want to be somewhere other than where I am right now. Mm-hmm. And it takes a certain humility to accept where you're at and accept that that's the will of God, that you be where you are, and just live within that. Plus, what are you in a rush for? People are always in a rush. Like, what are you in a rush? What are you, race to get to the grave? Like, where are you going? Well, where are you going, man?
Yeah, there's a rush toward, and so this was something I was thinking about whenever you guys were talking, but I think patience should always be attached to suffering.
Mm.
Patience in the suffering. Because if you're just patient and there's no suffering, then you're just doing nothing. That's just apathy. It's always patience in the suffering. It's always trying to withhold the storm, to bear the cross, to, you know, take on that suffering. And so I think patience is always attached to suffering, and I think that's kind of important to note. And especially in terms of Saint Joseph, and this was something I was reading in the consecration today, actually, they were saying that the purest hearts suffer the most.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Saint Joseph can be the mirror of patience, is because he suffered the most besides Christ and Mary.
In my time in seminary, which, you know, as you're talking, this came up. Ultimately, like, we're talking about patience is love. And to love, and the more you love, the more you suffer. And one of the things that I've always struggled with was to come across a good definition for suffering. And I was sitting there, and I was going through so much at the time. I was going through so much. And I'm like, Lord, please help me piece together a definition that's going to help me bear what you're placing on my shoulders well and in love and in patience. So, and then in that moment, as I just sat there, and I was receiving, patiently waiting, not grasping for an answer. And in the right moment, it was, to suffer is the careful effort of enduring discomfort for the sake of the other.
I love that. Dan, I want to take, what you said was that patience is enduring suffering. And I said that patience is feeling that you are where you're meant to be. If you marry those two together, what do you have? Suffering for a purpose.
Which is?
Suffering.
For another.
For another, for a purpose.
A person.
Absolutely.
Which ultimately is for the Father. And in that love, even when it is rejected, it will bear life, even after we leave this life. But it's just that careful effort. Careful effort. There is thought, there is wisdom, there is counsel. Of enduring, patiently enduring, like receiving, actively receiving what has been given to you, discomfort, which it ends, which is not pain, but it ends for the sake of the other. Which ultimately, it's a way of looking at Aquinas' definition of what it means to love, to will the good of the other. And to will the good of the other is sometimes the most challenging thing to do in our lives, because I have to put myself aside and choose to love the suffering Christ within my brother or sister in front of me. And that's what St. Joseph did every day for the Holy Family.
That's why he is the increaser.
That's right. The careful effort, because he did that all his life. He remained, he chose, and he accepted the hiddenness of his life. Like, that's what's beautiful. And, you know, to kind of like round this out and end it, my retreat that I had at Hidden Lake with their life team this year was really beautiful. And I think I told some of you guys about this. I wrote a letter to Eleni, my fiance, and I said, my desire is that I be that foundation of our family where the gates of the netherworld will not prevail against. That in the end, everyone may hate me, but as they interact with you and our children, they will see just how beloved and beautiful you are. And that in my rejection, you will be accepted. And my only desire and wish is that you keep me, you and the Father keep me as your well-kept secret. That everything that I do, it dies with you and it remains eternally within the Father's heart. And that's St. Joseph. That's what he taught me.
That's beautiful.
It was one of the hardest things I've ever written. Like, it was so hard to write that.
All right. Well, our fellow saints of training, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you to the boys.
The boys.
And the girls. And the ladies for helping us discuss our Papa St. Joseph. Yeah, thank you for St. Joseph's Catholic Community for sponsoring us. Thanks again to Danny for helping us produce the podcast.
Let's go.
Thank you. For all of you for listening to the podcast, please leave a review on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you're listening to this podcast. And St. Joseph,
pray for us.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We hope you enjoyed this Spirit of Sainthood podcast brought to you by WSJF and St. Joseph Catholic Community. Catch us next time on Spirit of Sainthood.